You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards the goal! It's the United, Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's crucial league encounter with AFC Telford United from Saturday afternoon.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as the men's team, also on this week's show, we'll be hearing from CEO Damian Chadwick on the development of Mostyn United, plus board member Lawrence Gill on the development under the St Mary's Road end. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week's news by announcing the arrival of two new signings, 20-year-old former Bolton Wanderers youth player Tyrrell Palmer and 19-year-old former Burnley scholar Jamal Crawford. Both players joined Mostyn United in the summer and have impressed and now become registered as part of FC's first team squad. And Tyrrell Palmer made his debut last Tuesday as FC United progressed to the semi-finals of the Manchester Premier Cup following a resounding second-half display at Moor Lane against Salford City.
And Salford have the ball back. End-to-end stuff here.
FC have, FC have started much better in the second half.
Well, the tempo's a lot higher, much better, as Kay takes over. Slips the ball to McCarthy. McCarthy gets a chance now to run down this near left-hand side. Plays the ball out wide, rises. A decent ball now. Here's the Gilchrist. First-time shot comes in. Goal! We're talking about hit the target, have a shot, and FC United of Manchester's Gilchrist puts FC United of Manchester a goal up here.
Well, they've started so brightly, haven't they, in the second half. And we've been saying, pull the trigger. There, it was teed up from beautifully by McCarthy, wasn't it?
Lovely ball by McCarthy. As the ball chipped over the top, it's a great opportunity now. And here comes Kieran Glynn. Can he make it two? Oh, he can, with some aplomb. And it was Kay, the ball initially from Kay. There was nothing occurring, to be honest. Kay got the ball on the halfway line. He chipped the ball over. And Kieran Glynn, as he went to shoot, the ball just bubbled up a little bit. I thought this could go anywhere. He was calm as personified as the ball down the right-hand side now with Salford. Ball chipped towards the back post. Is it slightly over? It was a man extra there if they need him, but it's good defending by Senior. And then great ball there. Absolutely wonderful ball from Jones. And it goes 50 yards to the path of McCarthy. McCarthy got the strength now. That's a decent ball. Should be three. What a ball. What a finish. And it all started with Jones deep in his own half. He put a lovely crossfield pass, and McCarthy, rather than coin inside, down the left-hand side, he put a ball of absolute inch perfectness into the area, and there was FC's number 10, Gilchrist. He just ran onto it, and he drilled it in. 3-0.
FC United will play either Hyde United or West Didsbury and Chorlton away in the semi-finals to be played in early 2018. And finally, FC United were celebrating again on Friday following the news that the club have been awarded a £12,000 grant from the M&S Energy Fund. The grant will help the club redevelop the area underneath the St Mary's Road end at Broadhurst Park. For more news on this, Ben caught up with FC United board member Lawrence Gill on Saturday afternoon.
Firstly, Lawrence, well, it's congratulations to all of us, but in particular, big congratulations to you and the board behind the bid. Okay. Very successful.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're really pleased with that. We want to crack on now. With regards to the SMRE, hopefully, the tenders are all due in on Monday lunchtime. We've got a lockdown plan now, what the design will be. That's the structure, the fabric itself. The final decor, we will consult with members on that. And we hope to have some diagrams available for the AGM next Sunday.
So really quick off the mark with the next stages. What's the time frame now?
Realistically, I think the build won't start till after Christmas, which means the SMRE will be out of commission for the rest of the season. But obviously with the drinking in view, we've got alternatives, we've got bar facilities lined up, which will be great. And then over the, for the summer, we'll plan some sort of grand opening. Have a bit of a party in FC style.
Have we? You said you're going to go back to the members with consulting about the interiors.
The interior, yeah. Interior. Obviously, we want to keep the feel of it is now. So that's our pictures and all that sort of stuff. We're not going to lose that. We're going to keep that. And we will talk to people about that. And things like, well, what colour are we going to paint it? That's something we can talk to the members about. The actual fabric where the toilets are, the concrete blocks and all that sort of stuff is all fixed now. And it's with, that's what's gone into the tenders and that's what we're expecting back.
What else is that all the money then required for the full kitting out and the grand opening, as you say, in the summer?
What we've been given from Power Change, obviously we've got the Sport England stuff as well, which is brilliant, and we just got picked up a set of extra cash from Marks and Spencers, the energy thing. So at the moment people want to give us money. It's never enough, just let me make that point. It's never enough, we all need some more. But yeah, we can crack on now with confidence and get the SMRE to look the way we want it to look.
So what we need now then is members to have a think about it. Because on a match day, I do love it down there. Yeah, it's like Corbiere's in a way.
I used to drink Corbiere's and I can go back a lot longer than you.
Yeah.
Oh, great jukebox. Yes, we want to keep the feel. We don't want to lose it. We don't want it to become a sanitised room where we turn up every Saturday and have a few beers. It's somewhere that's our home. So we want to keep the feel it's got now with the scarves, the pictures, the shirts, that sort of stuff. The lads who were over from Carver in Italy, last home game, left me a Carver shirt, which we'll get framed, we'll get out on the wall. So we want it to be our bar.
And what is there any other usage that we could get out of it now that it's going to be to a certain standard, but it's not now?
That's really down to Tom Conroy wearing his community hat, which he's got many to wear at the moment. Just like to say Tom's done a good job with the first team. Tom will be looking at our partners now, where we can get people in from the community usage. There's loads of ideas. I've got a lot of ideas myself, but we need Tom to work with our community partners to make sure we've got good usage of it for the right reasons.
Well, I've got you here as well, Lawrence. Yeah. There's a couple of community things happening in the coming weeks. Can you tell us more about that?
December's going to be quite a busy month. 2nd of December, we're going to have a food bank Saturday. So that's before the Harrogate game. We're looking for members to bring dry foods, tin foods. We'll have a couple of collection points at the ground, and then we'll share what we get with a couple of food banks around Newton Heath and Moston. And then on the 9th, I'm bringing a team up called Spartan United. They're from a mental health charity in Stockport, Stockport Progress and Recovery Centre, and they've got a very successful football team.
Right.
So they're coming up to
play. They're going to take on our lads?
Our pan disability team, and that'll be before the Brackley game. And then they're going to have a penalty shootout competition at half-time. When I said to the lads, did you fancy it? They were really, really up for it. And one of them said to me, can I wear my city kit? And I said, well, if you're prepared to take the abuse, you're more than welcome, mate. And he's looking forward to it.
Well, you keep up the good work, Lawrence. Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Board member Lawrence Gill there, and just a reminder that the club's AGM will be taking place this coming Sunday at 11 a.m. at Broadhurst Park, with registration beginning at 10 a.m. And following the AGM, why not stick around, as FC United's women's team will be taking to the 3G on Sunday as Luke Podmore's side hosts Altrincham Ladies. Kick-off on Sunday will be at 2 p.m. and we'll also have full coverage available on www.fcumradio.co.uk as well. But to this past weekend's football now, and on Saturday afternoon, FC United hosted Telford at Broadhurst Park. With FC United looking to make it 5 straight wins in North Manchester, it's over to our FC Live team now to hear how Tom Grieve's side got on.
Welcome everyone to Broadhurst Park. FC United against Telford United this afternoon, a very, very important game.
Well, all games are important, Ben.
That's true, but this one...
Is this more important than...
It's part of a trio of matches, I think. Which are very crucial. FC United against Telford today, Alfreton on Tuesday, Gainsborough away next week. Very important matches.
Well, in the great scheme of things, they certainly are. It's an opportunity for FC United to try and get additional points on the board. Precarious position at this moment in time. Had attacking team this afternoon for FC United, and I think The way we're going to actually get out of the situation we're in is by playing positive, fast-forward thinking football.
We saw that on Tuesday. We saw that on Tuesday night, didn't we?
Well, we saw it for 45 minutes in the second half. I mean, the first half we were pretty much at sixes or sevens, but they got it right second half. They changed things around very quickly, and before you know it, we were 3-0 up.
And one thing we picked up upon at Telford, because Telford got us in the last couple of minutes. If we went for him sooner, we probably would have won that game at the New Books. I certainly got something out of it, and that's what we need to do this afternoon. We've got to go for it, haven't we?
At home, you go out there, you're in the ascendancy, you work hard, you make sure that you do the right things in the right manners and concentrate on your own game. I think from what I can gather and the way Telford have been set up in the last few weeks, the manager's got a very good philosophy. He wants to play young players and continue to do that. So they're slightly weak at the back as well. So it's this today, I think, will be an attacking game of football from both teams. I'm just hoping the quality of FC United's defence this afternoon that we'll be in a position where we can come out and be stronger overall. And I'm looking forward to it.
And one thing that Tom Greaves has done, he has gone for youth. Sam Baird, Kieran Glynn, Michael Jones all start this afternoon. Tom Walker doesn't, but we believe Tom Walker's a bit poorly, so yeah. Get well soon, Tom. But Tom Greaves also starts as well. It's an attacking team, this, Swamper.
It is indeed. I'm surprised Tom's actually he's put himself in today, to be honest. I thought he might stick with Conor McCarthy and then bring himself on if needs be, but it is an attacking lineup regardless. It's loud and clear in the smoke. A big result needed today against our bogey team. Attacking lineup is a positive. Keep up the excellent comms, guys. And I think that's exactly what you're right. We have to go out there, attack the opposition, and it should be a good game of football. We know Telford going forward are good, and we know FC are going forward going good.
What are your thoughts, Paul?
Well, what comes to mind straight away looking at the team sheet is the fact that the four teenagers who started at Salford are still in the side. Tom is obviously, if you look at the numbers of the team, Fagbola wearing three, kind of suggests again that we might be playing three at the back.
Far side, here come the visitors again, Ryan Wilson. The ball picked up now, though, by Henry Cowans. Cowans' first time shot.
Oh, it's him. And it's gone right underneath Allinson.
That is a very, very strange. I thought it had gone wide, and it's just dipped straight underneath Allinson. And, well, FC United go a goal down on the less than 3 minutes.
2 minutes 22.
It's an opportunity now for Telford. Halfway line with Lussi. Lussi plays it out to this near side. Picked up by the goal scorer, Cowans. Cowans plays the ball inside to Simpson, and Kay loses out the ball. It's with Leonard outside the area, plays it out left. It's a decent ball, needs to be played in by Wilson. Wilson takes a touch, chips it in towards the back post. It's headed away by Baird. Second ball needs to be picked up by a red shirt, but it's not, because again we're just not quite at this at the races, in fairness. Kay, poor ball, but it's made use of by Glynn, who plays it to Jones. Jones now sees the movement, and a lovely ball to Gilchrist. Gilchrist in the penalty area. Greaves goes to the back post. It's an opportunity. Oh! Goal! Gilchrist thought about it. The ball by Jones was absolutely wonderful. Inch perfect. He played it on the right hand side. Gilchrist, he had one option. The movement from Greaves, though, peed off his player from the near post to the back post. He got it for the defender, and he fell into the top corner. And what a goal! Simple football.
Well, Tom Greaves is one nearer to his 100.
98 for Greaves. Johnson has Elliot Newby on this near touch line. Plays the ball inside again. FC United again deep, allowing them to play with the ball. Out to the captain, right hand side now to Shane Sutton. Plays a 1-2. And back to the halfway line. And there's keep ball, puts everyone up really for the visitors. And a nice little ball, deft ball out to this left hand side. Ryan Wilson flicks the ball forward. Hughes wins a second header. And then the ball flicked on by Kay. By lovely Glynn. Touch there by Glynn. Plays it in now to Jones. Jones plays it out left-hand side for Logan. Logan, 40 yards to run into. He's got Simpson to get past. He cuts inside. Goes down the byline again. Does really well. Jinks it again. Looks for some support. Plays it all the way back to Jones. Jones has Kay inside. Kay takes over. He should switch play. He's still on the ball, Kay. Plays it out to Logan. Logan now back to the halfway line, and the impetus is slightly lost from an FC perspective, but a nice ball to Jones. Lovely ball by Jones to Gilchrist. Gilchrist now cuts inside. He needs to get a shot away. He's taking his time. But he's absolutely buried it. And that was all the composure of FC United's Gilchrist. But what a touch and turn from Glynn. And then from Glynn onto Jones. Ball out left hand side. Patient build-up play from Logan. Logan there, well, he played the ball back. It looked like FC United's initial break was over. The ball went back to the halfway line. Frank Bowler played a nice ball in the touch, though.
I thought it was remarkable the way that Gilchrist took his time over that.
It was a great flick.
It's like he made sure of the goal, didn't he?
That touch, though.
The touch that Jones put through him. Yeah,
wonderful ball, wonderful ball.
But again, you know, we're talking about young players, aren't we?
Ball played out wide right-hand side by Lussie. Lussie down the right plays a 1-2 or tries to play with Johnson, and FC United defending well, and they win the ball. And we have a text coming in. How do? Just got in. I've worked out we need a killer goal. But that's what the actual. What's the actual score, please? That's from Helen. It's 2-1, Helen. Ball the halfway line. And it's a great header with a brave header from FC United. That's a shot from distance. Well, you want a killer goal. It was basically a ball to the halfway line. The header was won by Steve Irwin, very brave. It broke to Gilchrist, and Gilchrist actually just about a yard inside their half has just launched the ball straight to the top corner.
And yeah, he spotted Singh was up his line, and the execution was absolutely perfect.
Well, the bravery from Steve Irwin to win the header.
Irwin risked his whole head there to get that ball.
He did indeed.
And the reward was for Gilchrist.
Well, what a finish for Gilchrist. Wow. Absolutely tremendous. I mean, he hits it, and as soon as he hits it, you're thinking, oh, I'm just going to watch this float beautifully in, and it did. And 3 points secured here, 3 vital points for FC United of Manchester, and the Tom Greaves, well, the Greaves' red and white army, they continue to impress. And in charge now, in charge for 4 games, one.
Well, I think... There's two key things here. The first time we've ever beaten Telford at the 7th attempt, and the other thing is we've now won 5 home games in a row.
Well, 5 home games in a row is something that FC United have not achieved for some time.
I don't think we've ever done that, brothers.
Certainly haven't, but well, a lot of work in progress, don't get me wrong, but the same token, the endeavour, the quality, the work rate was there this afternoon. They can work it on in training, a big game on Tuesday as well, here at Broadhurst Park. And as I say, the youngsters that have come back into this team are getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And it's nice to see winning ways, young players in the team, and showing what it means to be an FC player. And all told, really, it's been a half-fought 3 points. I think the stats will prove that in the first half, I would have thought, Paul, that there was a lot of possession for the visitors.
Well, in the whole game, Telford have had over 60% possession. It's what you do with it, of course.
Yeah, it felt like that for large parts of the game, but it's what you do with the ball, what you do with the game, and another good result for FC United of Manchester. And pleasing for Tom that he's getting the benefit and the best out of the youngsters already. But the thing is, this is a rocket science, because we knew the quality of them, we knew what they were capable of doing, and it was just a question of throwing them in, showing what they can do, and they're proving, you know, in this short space of time, that the quality is there. Mike Jones is man of the match. He was man of the match on Tuesday, and you know, youth with a little bit of a good blend is paying dividend.
Yeah, and also there's another statistic, of course, that you play 2 strikers and they both scored.
Yeah, and we did sort of start with a 3-5-2 that quickly went to a 5-3-2 for most of the game, but again, you know, Logan. Well, as I say, you know, he is full of endeavour, work rate. I would have liked Logan a bit further up the pitch this afternoon, simply because I think he's got more to offer going forward, although his work rate going back and working this afternoon has certainly helped out FC United of Manchester. Everyone, really, there's been no performances there that you can turn around and say improvement needed. I think tactically and maybe slightly work on Shevin a bit more.
I don't know about that. If it wasn't for that fortunate goal that they got in the first 2 minutes, it would have been a clean sheet today, quite easily. I know you don't like that kind of hypothetical.
It's a stupid stat.
No, it's not.
Well, it was 1-0, and we looked vulnerable. And there was lots of things that we could have done that we can improve upon going forward. And that's all I'm saying.
Do you want Chaddy on as well?
Yeah, we get Chaddy on.
Fall on my sword.
You fall on your sword. Well, we'll bring Dave Chadwick in if you don't mind, Dave. We had a chat before the game. We didn't necessarily talk about FC. We talked about maybe your career so far working with Chorley. But give us your. I mean, I know you came in at half time. what was the difference in the second half from FC once we got on level terms?
Well, I think FC had more of a spring in the step second half. Telford never came out the blocks, if I'm honest. It was a scrappy game. You know, I'm not under no illusion that FC have just played Telford off the pitch, because they've not. But right now, you'll take scrappy games and winning 3 points all day long. So, you know, great result, great thing to build on. Positives out there, you know. As a defence, even though the shape weren't great a lot of the time, they weren't getting troubled by Telford. You know, the keeper didn't have nothing to do. You know, we looked quite lively up front. You know, a couple of great goals from Gilchrist. Working hard out wide, positionally, Logan could have been better, but he didn't stop working, the lad. And, you know, Logan played well, Jones played well. You know, and that's two young lads who need the experienced players around them to put a shift in with them. And then they move up the pitch, move up the table, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about, you know, having that... I think that takes us out of the relegation zone this afternoon.
No,
the
results, in it,
yeah. The results might have just gone our way.
Unless it's a last-minute goal, Boston were beating...
Saying that, he has come from China, so we never know what's what.
Third from bottom.
But it's... Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, you know, the first half, my criticism really was that our two wing backs were far too deep. They were allowing the others to come onto them, and Simpson and Wilson were allowed to do so. FC up to 19. So yeah,
Stockport have equalised last couple of minutes.
Have they?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens shortly. But lots of positives there. But at the same time, as you rightly say, the two wing backs really were too deep. You need your older players to put shifts in and work and put the round individual players and get them going a little bit, and that's why I think, you know, you said as well as I did that Jones's game was instrumental today, because he did the work of one or two players.
He was covering all the midfield space. He was on the ball, he was lively, he was moving it nice and sharp. You know, he was tracking back when he needed to, and the lad did well. I don't know if he cramped up near the end, but I'm not surprised, because he did put a good shift in.
But he got that niggly injury, didn't he, earlier in the first half. And he played through that. Glynn as well, a young talented player, showing moments of quality there. Again, lacking in game time, really, all of them. But can only bode well. And as you say, Logan down the left-hand side, for me, I like to play a bit further up the pitch and work with him. Yes. Pointing towards somebody. And we've got Jack coming over in a second, yeah. So, listen, Shaddy, it's great talking to you as always. Thanks very much for your company. We'll have a chat off air shortly when the whole world isn't listening about maybe other things. But with that, take care of yourself.
Good luck.
Hope you keep it enjoying working at Chorley and keep that plethora of great players coming through.
No problem, thank you.
All the best, pal. Well, we're now joined... Oh, he's already got a headset. Blooming neck, I'm taking one off a legend and passing it on to a possible legend. You brought your own. Right, well, we're now... Oh, there's Jack, great to have you on the radio. We were talking off air a couple of days ago, saying that you and I have known each other for FC about 7 years. You came to FC...
Since day one.
Working in the community with myself and working on... at schools and on football pitches that weren't football pitches and doing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've continued. We did a level two together and, you know, you've continued in the footballing side of things and you're now in a position where you probably never thought, or you didn't think for a number of years, certainly, you'd be managing or co-managing and helping out in the first team squad. First of all, what's it like? And then we'll go on to the game.
It's been great. It's been great. Honestly, I couldn't ask for more of the lads. They've been dead welcoming. They've talked to us really well. I was a bit wary going in, obviously, after the previous people, Carl and everyone. Been there a while. It's a big change. It could have gone one way or the other, and at the minute it's going well. It's doing well at the moment.
The game itself today, you know, obviously there's a game plan there. You worked to it within training.
Yeah.
We'll just talk to Michael Jones here, because Michael, congratulations first and foremost. Well done, young man. Two games in a week for a player that hasn't played a great deal of football. Yeah. You'd be pleased to know you got man of the match from us on Tuesday. You came more and more into the game and showed that quality that you possess. And then this afternoon, again, talking to Dave Chadwick, obviously he's an FC legend, you know, the club captain. He had you as a standout player as well this afternoon, as well as we did, because the work rate that you put in there, but not only the work rate, the quality that you possessed is all on show. What's it like to be back playing in front of this crowd at Broadhurst Park for FC United and in a winning team?
It's good. Just getting used to it, really, because I've only just first few games of the season. I was playing a bit last year, but
just like little stints at the end of the game, towards the end of the season. But it's good to get start games and get playing regularly again.
And that's the key, isn't it? It's match time, it's working hard, and we know that, you know, the on the training, and Jack being here as well, on the training pitch, fine, everything will look wonderful and rosy. It's a totally different kettle of fish when you're out there in front of a big crowd, on a pitch, you know, playing against players that are actually going to put challenges and work against you. Which reminds, when you went down with that injury, what was it? Because, I mean, again, it looked a little bit innocuous, but you seemed to be in real, real pain.
Yeah, it was just a bad dead leg. And I
was it? Ah, we said dead leg, yeah.
Still proper stiff and I can't feel it. But, just limping.
So right. So you've carried on all the way through the game.
Yeah.
Is that down to Jack? I mean, you're quite a young lad yourself as well, but is that down to youthful exuberance saying, I can play all the way through this, or is it just saying, no, I don't want to lose my place in the team?
No, we saw it happen and we spoke to Sam about it. Obviously it caught his attention. It was just a dead leg. It was either going to get better within 5 minutes or it would be no go after 5 minutes. Luckily it was alright, could carry on.
Yeah.
With him, it's just getting him 90 minute fit. At the moment, for me, he's not quite there. He'll tell you that himself. I've had him for 2 years with me, with the UT. I know the quality he's got, and we just want him playing 90 minute fit. When he's 90 minute fit, you'll see out there, top draw.
Well, 70 minute fit, or, you know, or 70% fit.
We're getting there.
There's a ball, the ball that you played on Tuesday, outside of the boot from this near right hand side, and he swerved it around four players. I mean, I've seen you play with the younger lads in the past, and we saw those games that you came into last season, and we saw the quality there. You must have been, and you know, I don't want to put your situation here, but you must have been very disappointed not to have had more game time since you've been promoted into the first team. Is that fair to say, or?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because there's a lot of good players, so it's fighting for your place, isn't it? But it's good to get playing and now finally start.
The thing is, on that, it's a big step up. It is a big step up, and you don't really notice it until you're out there playing. Like, Sam Baird was first last year. He came in and he'll be the first one to tell you that it's a massive step up from playing youth team football. So it's testament to the Margie and them that came and put them in. It's a brave decision to do, and they've not.
Is it a brave decision?
I think so.
I beg to differ, saying it's a brave decision only based upon the quality of the players. The players are good enough, and it doesn't matter what their age is.
But where do you get that test? So, like, ideally, when the players are ready, we'll go and try them in men's football. Reserves wasn't really offering the standard.
No, that's very true.
So if they go off and play men's football at a decent level somewhere and then they come back, we know they're ready. So it was a risk to throw them straight into men's at a good level, for me anyway.
And get the games out of opinions.
From my point of view, they've been ready. Mike's been ready for a while.
Well, I think Baird's been ready. I think the vast majority of youngsters at this football club that have taken the step up have all been ready,
yeah,
and given that opportunity. And we're now seeing it, starting to see it. And that's going to help you as well, I suppose, because you've got three lads that you've grown up with really within the FC ranks. And playing out with them, you have an understanding, you know, quite a lot between you three of you.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good laugh as well in training. Good laugh.
Well, listen, we're not going to keep you any longer because it's unfair to do so, but you are the man of the match.
Thank you.
And therefore, because you're a man of the match, you get presented with something, and that has to be the one and only, the greatest drink on earth. Now, are you old enough to drink Vimto?
Just about.
You're just about old enough to drink Vimto. So there you go, young man.
Don't
man
try of the match. Pretend that's a Vimto, by the way.
It is a Vimto. Well done. Cheers. Congratulations. We look forward to many more Man of the Matches from you this season. I hope that dead leg is okay for Tuesday, because there's a big game on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And let's have you put in 25 performances in this season, showing exactly what your quality is, and be a first-team regular week in, week out.
Thank you.
Well played. Cheers. Young man. Well done. And as I say, Jack, you know, you were there 2 years ago with him, together with Kieran Glynn, together with the likes of Sam Baird. And the reason why I say that, I mean, I go and watch, as Ben does, we go and watch a lot of men's football. A lot of this division, Northern Prem, yeah. Premier Division, and also, I mean, Jake Williams at this moment in time out at Buxton.
Yeah.
He's been absolutely superb,
right.
Doing really, really well. And I think with certain players, I understand there's certain players that could come and find it very, very difficult,
yeah,
very, very tough. I think those players that you'd nurtured, I think they were ready to come in. I mean, Sam Baird last season, he played 6 games, he won Man of the Match 3 games in a row.
Yeah.
There was other clubs looking at him going, where's he come from?
Oh,
he just fitted in very quickly. Kieran Glynn, because of the style of footballer he is, it's not say it's necessarily take a bit longer, but it's one of those. Once he's 100% fit, and again, I think he's the same as Jonesy and Baird, that the three kids with so much talent.
Yeah, brilliant.
And enjoyable to watch.
Yeah. And I think as a fan, that's what you want to see, isn't it? You want to see the young lads coming through and us trusting them, and that's what they'll get. Well, definitely off me from a selfish point of view, because I've got that kind of relationship with them. I know what they can do.
Yeah.
So I'm really pushing to get them in. I really want them to play. In terms of like whether they get a shock or not when they're playing, I think if Sam Baird was playing his first game today, it would have been shocking for him, because they've definitely targeted him as a young centre-half. They've seen the team sheet and the lad playing up front for there. He saw the when the ball was in the air, he's not looking at the ball, he's looking straight at Sam, looking to put him off and give him a nudge. But Sam, because he's had them games in and he's used to that sort of thing, he did mention it at half-time, but I thought he dealt with it. I thought he was brilliant today, Sam, and Tuesday. I thought he was really good.
I think, I mean, that challenge in the first half down here on this near touchline, when the ball gone past him, you're thinking he's got half a yard to the player. And it was, yeah. I think it was Demanga. Bang!
Yeah, licking his lips. Yeah,
that's a Sam challenge. He loves them.
Yeah, he loves them.
I remember him last season when we played Salford Sea. You know, that was, we got beat, but he was our best player on the pitch. He was, again, he's got something about him, he's got a calmness about him.
Yeah.
He doesn't give the ball away. He looks to play a simple pass, but he's very calm, and he reads the game very well for such a young lad. And every manager I've spoken to in this division and divisions below all know the name Sam Baird.
Yeah.
They've targeted him today, perhaps with maybe a little bit of naivety.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah, I think so.
Their idea, really, I mean, for me, if I've been targeting anybody, I would have been targeting maybe senior, opposed to centre-half, mm-hmm. Just because of his inexperience, but also, again, you know, he's shown since he's
another one that'll surprise you.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
Another one that surprises you. You look at that and you think, oh, how's he going to cope off the ball? Like, can we trust him? Yeah, you've just got to. This is what they'll get off us, the young lads especially. They're going to make mistakes. The young lads, they're learning the game still. But we've got to back him as fans and as a coaches. We've got to back him and encourage him to make mistakes.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, you're 100% right in what you say, is because the players that are now playing, that had they been playing last season, to the end of the season when we were safe, had they been started this season, perhaps the club wouldn't be in the situation it is. And it's having that belief in the players. It's having that opportunity to say, look, you are good enough, we trust you, with the right blend out there, with the likes of Greavesy, who's going to work and help them, put their arm around the shoulder, with a slightly more experienced, but not a huge amount of in age-wise, with the likes of Fagbola and Hughes, a goalkeeper that's young as well. So you've got the balance of,
yeah,
a team where there's a lot of youth in there with a little bit of experience. I mean, Joe Logan, again, blooming heck. I mean, if he can have the confidence not to go to the touchline all the time and ask what he should be doing.
Yeah. Do you know something? We knew we were going to play this shape from training, from Thursday night. And just because of Bodies, who was there, and he ended up playing as that wing back. And he was really interested in it. You could tell he really wanted to play it. He kept coming over in training when we were working on the shape. Coming over, where should I stand here? Where should I stand there? So we were toying with the idea whether we start him or not. And I definitely really pushed for him to start, because he was Googling the position. He said he was watching England the other night, they played it, and he was really keen because he knew that we were going to play that shape. We've got a lot of admiration for him. I think he's a great lad.
I mean, he's good quality. I think today, looking at the game, I mean, look at the percentages and the stats, just going into the game today, you know, they had about 64%, which, you know, they're a young team as well. They like to play the ball. They got the wing backs up really, really quickly. The likes of Wilson and Wilson and Simpson, they were pushed on and pushed on. My only observation, not criticism, although in commentary it always comes out as a criticism, I suppose. I thought R2 were a bit too deep, mm-hmm. and we weren't pushing a player across when they should have. You know, you've got Hughes there, and there's a man that he can see, and he can push him on to another player and then come across.
Yeah.
Logan's back defending brilliantly all through the game.
That's what we asked.
It's like Valencia.
Yeah.
It's like watching Antonio Valencia
play
football.
Really, yeah.
He's just backwards. But that was the role that you told him. You want him back as much as possible.
We take the blame for that.
Right, okay.
We knew we were going to concede a bit of possession, but then we looked at it and we thought, we've conceded the second most in this league, so we've got to get that sorted first.
Okay.
Stop conceding goals. And Lloyd's made a mistake for the first goal, for their goal. And without that, you're looking at a clean sheet. So I think it's kind of worked in a way. So we knew that was going to happen. We knew it's going to be kind of defensive, but I think you've got to start there. And then when we get the ball, go and express yourself, get wide and go and enjoy it. And they've done, it might have not looked right to yourself, but they've done exactly what we wanted them to do.
The defenders, again, we've conceded one goal. We didn't concede against Salford.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously Stockport County, that's put to bed. But the week before, we do well as well. Again,
but we changed the shape for Stockport.
And I think that.
So I don't think, just going back to the shape, I think the Stockport game, I don't think we were good in the first half, obviously. I think the Salford game, we weren't very good at the first half. But the difference in the shape is we always had cover. With playing that three, we always had cover, and we weren't playing well against Salford, but we came in at 0-0.
Very good point.
That's the difference there.
Very good point, well made.
You know.
You recognise the decisions and recognise when you need to make changes at the right time. Mm-hmm. Salford on Tuesday, play at the two wing-backs again, were going far too forward, putting pressure on us.
In the first
second half.
Yeah.
Just relax, and when you get the opportunity afforded to you, you can move forward. But let's do our roles and responsibilities first, defend first and foremost, and then we get the opportunity, and it paid dividend. Mm-hmm. Against the Stockport game, Connor, that challenge, straight away, and I think regardless of injury or not, he was coming off. You know, the decision was made, and now these are proactive. These are things that supporters see week in, week out, and we've seen in the last 7 or 8 games where a few players got sent off. We knew they were about to be sent off, and they should have been brought off before they got sent off.
Okay.
But you're making that decision now, the last 3 or 4 games, with you guys, you're making them decisions. And the right decisions, the proactive decisions, the making sure that we finish with 11 men on the pitch. We don't want to make it hard for ourselves. The substitutions have been made have been at the right time.
Yeah.
Done well with them. You know, I thought tonight, I was quite surprised, in fairness, that Tom started. I thought Tom might give himself another opportunity to watch the game and start with McCarthy, because I thought McCarthy had a good second half when he came on, and he worked really, really well. But again, great dilemma.
Well, it was just on that we were looking at. Mainly, we started looking off the ball. We're looking, think, what are we doing off the ball here? And we did it in training. And Tom and Gilly were doing it in training really well. So it started with them closing down their back four. They'd chase the full-backs in instead of bringing our wing-backs out of position, which was happening at Salford. So we worked on that in training. It worked really well. We thought, well, you know, we might as well start with that. And it's paid off. It's done. They did well.
Yeah.
Shaky first 10 minutes, which we always seem to have. But once we settled in and we get, you know, we got into the game.
We've never beaten them. We've never beaten Telford. That's the first time we've beaten Telford in 7 attempts. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it shows, you know, and testament to the players out there that work right. But I think, and I'm 100% convinced of it, it's all because of the work off the pitch, the training that has been put in, and the shape that you're working on, the fact that you were in on Monday. The players came in. You trained on the pitch.
A 3-5-2.
I like the 3-5-2. I think a 3-5-2 can. It was beneficial for FC a few seasons ago when we had two top draw centre halves. I think we've got the making of. We've got some good centre halves, and we've got a top draw centre half as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And we've got that opportunity now to build on that, change the shape if we need to. Yeah. But I like the attacking prowess that we've got. We're always going to cause people problems that way. It's, can we make sure through our midfield we work as a unit? And we can protect our defenders and our goalkeeper. Yeah. And we've proven today, I mean, I think Alisson's made 1-2.
And the goal's a mistake. He's the first one to tell you he should save that.
Well, it comes out of nothing, and it lands and it's in. But apart from that, really, with all the possession of...
He should save that.
Yeah, of course he should. Yeah, he knows that. I mean, the calibre of the goalkeeper is. Yeah. But really, they've not really done anything. But you're enjoying the role?
Loving it.
I mean...
How can you not?
Dare I say it, what's going to happen if a new manager when a new manager comes in, and you're going to have to go back to the lonely working with your youth, because you do that all through the day, don't you? Mm-hmm. You're still working here. It's going to give you great experience. I would take it. That's the only thing you take out of this thing: the experience and the big learning curve. Because you're doing your UEFA B.
A lot of people have said the similar thing to me. How is it going to, after this is done, after that's done, are you going to go back to what you're doing? I will go back to what I'm doing, but I don't think I'm not ready for this level. I think I'm perfectly capable of coaching at this level. Sure, people have vouched for me that. I just need the opportunities to do it. And like, I've got it now, I'm going to take it. And however long I've got, whether it be 2 games from now, however long till the new manager comes in, or if a new manager comes in, I'm going to do the best job I can on and off the pitch. You know, well, when they're playing and in training,
do
the best that we can, and hopefully club will show a bit of loyalty there, and you never know.
Well, I mean, work rate's not in doubt, your endeavour, your commitment to the football club, you've been here since, you know, when all those years ago. It's about 7 or 8 years, isn't it?
Something like that.
Nice to know that. To be honest, there's nothing wrong with you saying, look, I want this job. I want to be part of this first team.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's what you're saying.
That's what I've
which
been
is good.
Open
and,
with,
and yeah. that's what everyone wants to hear. Mm-hmm. Everyone's seeing the quality of football that's been on show. Lots of work in progress, which is great. You can work on that, develop that. Whoever comes in, I would hope, and I'm sure a lot of supporters would agree, that they can utilise the expertise that we've already got or we're gaining. You're going to get improved as an individual, as a person, and also as a coach. You're doing UEFA B as well. So, you know, in a year or two's time, you have a pro licence, and you'll be saying, right, I want to be the manager. I don't want to just be the coach. I want to be the manager of this football club, because there's no reason why you can't.
Well, Damien asked me that very question. He said, what's your ambition? I told him where I want to go.
I want to work for Swampy. Yeah. I want to be on the radio, and I want Swampy as my number two.
It's a good view of the pitch, eh? Don't mind it.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon. After the match, Ben caught up with FC United caretaker player manager Tom Greaves.
Congratulations after that one, Tom. Firstly, 19 goals.
Yes.
One Brian Rohrer. I think you would have forgotten about all that, given where you are at the moment. But a cracking performance today against a team we needed to beat.
Yeah, we've been working hard on playing three at the back. We started slow against Salford with three at the back, and like I said before, I thought Tommy and Joe got caught out of position a little bit. So we kind of said start as a five, and when we're on the ball, go and express yourself and get involved. And the two lads that played wing back today was unbelievable.
Well, that was one of the things we picked up upon in our half time chat, was about how deep we were playing, but that was deliberate.
We just myself and Gilly, we've said that we'll stop the fullbacks getting out until about the halfway line, and then pass them on to the left and right backs. So yeah, that was part of the game plan.
You go 1-0 down after 3 minutes, though. Yep. Very unfortunate goal. It just dipped underneath Allinson. What was your mood like then? Because that's your game plan to contain out the window a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, I kind of looked over to Jack and Tom on the bench, and they was happy with how we were playing. Obviously, it's just took a little zip off the surface and caught Lloyd a bit short. So obviously, you're thinking, here we go again when we conceded nearly goal. But I think that's just shown the lads' character and everything about what we're trying to put into the club.
And there were some cracking goals today. That ball from Jones to release Gilchrist to finally get the ball to you on the back post was superb, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what Jonesy brings to the side. He can play the 5-yard passes and he can play the 55-yard passes. Another great ball. I probably should have scored a little bit sooner. I've gone inside of the post instead of across the keeper, which is my favourite place to go, but never mind. And then Gilly's ball across the box. You've just got to get something on the end of it, and it goes in.
I mentioned for the third goal as well, bravery from Irwin to win that header in the first place, but then Gilchrist just being Jason Gilchrist, essentially. Did he score a goal like that against, was it Fylde or Darlington?
Darlington here last year, yeah. Yeah, Steve, he's put his head on the line there.
Yeah, he really has.
He took a knock, it might be a sore one in the morning, and why Gilly's shooting from there, I'll never know. But yeah, that's the confidence the lad's showing at the minute. He'll get you goals from anywhere.
So let's talk about some of the performances then. I mean, we gave man of the match to Michael Jones, but I've got in the back of my mind, it probably should have gone to Logan, if I'm being completely honest. It was phenomenal, wasn't it?
Who else went phenomenal today?
Yeah, that's true.
Gilly, unbelievable. Joe Logan works his absolute socks off. You can't fault the lad. He's... he won't mind me telling you, like, he had an inkling that he'd be playing left wing back, and he's been on YouTube and he's been on Google and that, and he's been...
Well, that's one thing we see him asking the touchline, asking advice, am I in the right spot, kind of thing.
That's good. He's got a great attitude. He's out on the training ground last every single night. He'll work hard on whatever he's been asked to work on. So yeah, he's a joy to have in the side. It's been a difficult week, because you look at the bench and we've got some good quality players coming off the bench. You've got Stevie Irwin on the bench, you've got Craig Linfield.
And you've got the likes of Tom Walker, who's a bit poor today, and Brady, who's not made the bench. So next up, we've got Alfreton. I said pre-match that this was the hardest game out of the three. I'm going back on that now. I think Alfreton's going to be the next hardest game. How are we? We've obviously Jones has got a dead leg, but that should be all right. Where are we with personnel and that kind of thing going into these next two crucial games as well?
Sam will let us know tonight and tomorrow who's got knocks, who needs a rest, and we'll go from there. Luke will do the analysis on them, and we'll be in on Monday again. And preparing right again, yeah.
Well, Tom, congratulations today.
Thank you very much.
And I hope you finally get that 99th goal on
fingers crossed next week.
Tuesday.
Top nice one. Cheers,
bud. FC United caretaker player manager Tom Greaves there, following his side's 3-1 victory over Telford United on Saturday afternoon. To find out now where that result leaves FC United in the league table, and for all the other results from a busy afternoon in the National League North, it's over to Marv Willis now for another edition of Marv's Sports Report. Marv.
Thank you, Cockers. And hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Well, happy times are here again, FCers, as FC United are now out of the relegation zone and just 9 points from the playoffs. Set your giddy-ometers to a May final day, everybody. Higher up the table and now well and truly looking over their shoulders, frantically in fear of FC United's surge, we have Salford City, who moved 7 points clear at the top of the table on Saturday afternoon. The Amis won 2-1 at Tamworth, while second place Harrogate Town were beaten 3-1 at fourth place Spennymoor Town. Brackley moved into third, a 2-0 home win against lowly Gainsborough Trinity. Blyth Spartans, they returned to winning ways with a 1-0 win over Leamington. And York City are sixth after edging out Alfreton Town 3-2 away from home. Well, it was a frustrating day for bottom of the table North Ferriby United, who suffered a 12th defeat of the season, this time at home against Bradford Park Avenue. Chorley were another frustrated outfit, as they were held to a 2-2 draw at Victory Park by third bottom Nuneaton Town. While it also finished 2-2 between another two of the strugglers, Boston United and Stockport County at the Jakesman Stadium. Both felt very good results for FC United. There was also late drama at Agborough as Gidderminster Harriers and Darlington shared a 3-3 thriller. And finally, Curzon Ashton and Southport were two more sides to share the spoils at the Tameside Stadium. Draw-tastic. And that concludes this week's edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Marv. FC United return to action this week with two crucial league matches. Firstly, on Tuesday night, FC United are back at Broadhurst Park as the Reds host Alfreton Town. Kick-off is at 7:45pm and it's pay on the gate. £10 for adults, £6 concessions, £3 for under-18s. While on Saturday afternoon, FC takes the road as Tom Grieve's side take on Gainsborough Trinity. The address for the ground is the North Home, Gainsborough, Lincolnshire, DN212QW. That's the North Home, DN212QW. Kick-off on Saturday will be at 3pm. But remember, if you cannot make these matches in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Tuesday evening from 7:30pm and on Saturday afternoon from 2:30pm on www.fcumradio.co.uk.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.
To Moston United now and the development of younger players at FC United. Following Saturday's victory over Telford, which saw Tyrrell Palmer, a signing from Moston United, make his home debut at FC, Ben and Swampy caught up with FC United CEO Damien Chadwick.
Tyrrell, or Tyrrell as I like to call him, he came on as a sub in the last two matches. Looks very, very impressive.
Yeah.
The signing this week... Everyone's in a happy mood there at that table. It's good to see. Is this the direction of travel we're going in now?
Yeah, very much so. The Moston United thing, obviously, it's only, what, four months old. So it's a pathway for not only the academy lads to get a bit of experience of men's football. Last year they were in the Galaxy League and we just felt it was kind of just academy football but on a different night of the week. Yeah. And it was all 3G pitches and tippy-tappy football, and they need to understand how to adapt on a men's game and get, you know, for want of a better word, getting smashed. It's kind of a bit of a growing up process, but they're only lads who are kind of ready. And then obviously we get trialists and things coming in, and last time they were kind of getting involved in the first team, and I think Tuesday night a few weeks ago there was 42 players on the pitch, and you're like, well, how can you focus on things in training when you've got 42 lads? Especially when you've got a 2-hour window on a Tuesday night. So again, it gives them an opportunity to go in there and get a few games under the belt for Moss United, have a look at them, and then if they've got something, then we can have a look at them with the first team.
And we had a good chat on Tuesday night, talking on It'll Be Off about the development of Moston United and how exciting it is, because it's a partnership essentially with Moston Juniors.
Well, that's
and it's another avenue for youngsters
but
to come
is,
into
it's also
the,
that and it's also
club.
Something that the club perhaps should have done a long time ago and really started to get involved and working alongside, you know, our partners in Moston Juniors and now Moston United. And that's a big stepping stone, having a Moston United and be able to, you know, put that bond together and working as a unit of people. And also we know that there's an abundance of young talent out there that can now have a pathway, and a genuine pathway, opposed to perhaps there may be an opportunity, but the likelihood is there's no real pathway. But this is a proper pathway for the club, isn't it?
It is. And it also, it's when you talk about pathways to the first team, it's not about the first team as well. We've got an academy there that each year 30 lads will leave the club. They're not all going to play for FC United. Mm. So it gives them an opportunity to still be involved with the club and still enjoy football at an adult level when they become into adulthood. What you're getting at the moment is with these academies, lads at 18 years of age, 19 years of age, they leave and then they don't do anything. And then they might come back and they might go to, like, you know, when they're in work playing five-a-side football matches and stuff like that. But they're not playing in structured football. It gives them an opportunity to stay with the club and enjoy the football, because some of them aren't going to make it at FC United, but they can still be involved.
And this goes back to what you're saying about the level as well. When we cover the Manchester League on FC Radio, and obviously they're in the Lancashire League, there are a lot of quality players who the main reason they're playing at this level is it's just not worked out for them necessarily. But they are quality players.
Yeah, and likewise, if you're talking about quality players, the one thing that I was kind of, when I was talking when I first came in with Carl and we was meeting with Moss and Junior, especially with Tom Conroy and Jack, was I was shocked at the level of, you know, how many players they've produced over the years, Moss and Juniors. You know, Richie Wellens, the manager at Oldham just up the road, is Moss and Juniors lad. You know, centre-half at Burnley, playing in Premier League, is a Moss and Juniors lad. Captain of Cardiff City. Moss and Juniors lad. Now, listen, they'll go on, and to be fair, they'll probably get picked up in, you know, higher level academies. But there's a lot of lads, you know, we're not after the next Paul Scholes. We're after the next Tommy Greaves, or, you know, a bit better than Tommy. I won't stroke his ego.
A Paul Scholes would be quite nice, though, wouldn't it?
It would be, because, like I said, the scouting system that, you know, I'd looked at, it was kind of Sunday League, looking at, you know, North West Counties and Sunday League. We're too past that now, and you're kind of almost kind of kissing the, you know, trying to kiss frogs to, you know, turn into princes, whereas there's diamonds out there at the actual academies that have actually had 3 years in the academy and been trained and they're professional in their approach, you know, and not Sunday League lads. You know, so you're going to have more of a strike rate and a better chance of one of them making it than you are.
You are indeed, but at the same token, I don't think we would ever want to stop that pathway from
the
league and but maybe from.
But what it is,
you could do both.
It's one in a thousand.
It is, yeah.
Whereas you hopefully got a strike rate of one in 100 the other way, or maybe even less.
Yeah.
You know, look at the lad who's our star man, who's man of the match today. He got dropped out of Burnley's academy, didn't he, Gilly?
Yeah.
So
it could only help, and as I say, we've seen on Tuesday night both Salford and FC having a very, very young squad out there playing really attractive football. Yeah. Great advert for young players. Today again, a plethora of youngsters playing there. And the FC's so faithful today, you know,
It
was everyone's enjoying, everyone's going away happy. Spoken to Jack, I love Jack. I mean, I've known Jack for a long time through FC. He wants the job, you know, he's confident because he loves the club and he knows.
Yeah, there's a real buzz about the place. I think it was interesting on Tuesday after the game, we're speaking to the directors of Salford and he said, you know, we had a young team. I said, well, so did we. You know, people forget that Lloyd's only 20, you know, and. So I said, yeah, we've got some of our young lads. And he said, yeah. And he said, and your young lads are better than our young lads. And I went, yeah. So, it all bodes well.
That's a happy way to end this interview. Thanks for coming over, Damien.
FC United CEO Damien Chadwick there, speaking to Ben and Swampy on Saturday afternoon. And that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 12:30 on www.fcumradio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUMradio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.